This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca, and Paul is panelling and also co-hosting.
I'm doing a couple of things today, Macca.
You are. You're multitask. Our next guest, and sorry for keeping you waiting, is Angus Crowther from Tank. Good morning, Angus. How are you?
Hi, Macca. Hi, Paul. Doing pretty well this morning. It's great to be with you guys again.
Good to hear. Politics is never boring. I see it's, I don't know if this is right, that Anthony Albanese is sending Richard Marles to, where's he sending him, Paul? To some meeting?
To NATO.
To NATO.
Yeah, to Europe, to the NATO meeting in his place. That's right, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be very impressed with our defense.
Angus, surely, such an important meeting, and that is a very important meeting because they're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that links us to NATO closer. Surely the Prime Minister should be going there himself, no?
It's an interesting situation from my perspective. So one of the things that I look at in the work we do with our clients is around trying to match people of seniority with senior people in the government. And I think that kind of protocol applies in the same space here. And so I kind of have been wondering about this, given Trump cancelled the meeting with Albanese and others as well at the G7. If they're sort of weighing up their options here around trying to make sure that the next time Albanese goes somewhere that Trump is there, that he actually meets with the president and that he doesn't get pushed down to these sort of more junior people in the White House again. That's one of the things that I've been considering and thinking about, because I think there is this distinct risk at the moment with how preoccupied Trump is with what's happening in the Middle East. And then, this so-called review of AUKUS to sort of, potentially really, I think it's entirely plausible to shut Albanese out and to exert pressure on him to make him more amenable to Trump's demands on various things. So that's kind of how I've reflected on that there, because, if you send Miles instead, Trump's, and the bet is that Trump's not going to meet with Albanese and NATO, then it kind of takes care of that protocol issue.
Yeah, it's. I'm always interested, by protocol. And the reality is, you can meet with whoever in the US administration, but at the end of the day, it will be Trump that will make the decision, regardless of what perhaps his people have been told and decide. And I think, pretty much to a similar extent here, that the Prime Minister will make a decision. So, but I think the situation with AUKUS, Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles and Defence Minister is playing down the US review, and he's quite right, yes, that incoming governments do carry out reviews. I suppose it's some of the very weak support some officials have spoken about for AUKUS, versus those who've supported. But when you actually look at what they say, there isn't, a ringing endorsement that I can remember from this current administration. There isn't a ringing endorsement of AUKUS. They talk around it a bit, but there isn't a ringing endorsement, is there?
It doesn't appear to be, no. The language is pretty flexible, and this is, I think, where people are looking at it and are feeling concerned, because, and many Turnbull was obviously recently doing the rounds on media talking about this stuff, and he's had his views on it for quite a while. Now, there's some sniping that's happening there because Morrison's the Prime Minister that signed the deal, and everyone knows the history with Turnbull and
with
Morrison.
Those two,
but, yeah, and so you got to factor that in, but there are some sort of pretty stark realities here in terms of we've put ourselves out there, I think, as a nation, without having any firm guarantees of receiving the thing that we're ostensibly going to be handing over quite a lot of money for, and then when you have these demands that are being leveled at the government of increased defence spending by this arbitrary amount, because the reality is, if we were to do that, we're either going to have to finance it with debt or find cost savings across the budget. And we have a very different proposition of what we like to spend money on in Australia, namely our universal healthcare initiative. And we have a Prime Minister who is not philosophically in that camp. And I think the vast majority of Australians are not in that camp either. And so I think these are all tactics in this space, right, is certainly how I see it, to exert pressure on the Prime Minister and on the government. But I think just to clarify the protocol thing, what I mean by that is I feel that there's a play here where the government are trying to, because they can't be too assertive, right, because Trump is who he is,
yes, and
can be quite bombastic, where they're trying to make it so that they can say, look, we're an important player here as well. Either our leaders meet or our deputies meet, but we don't want our leader to meet with your deputies.
Yeah, it's the protocol issue, I say, is very interesting. But going back to the meeting between Richard Miles and Pete Hegseth, that, you know, the US Defence Secretary, you know, basically said to the Australians, you need to increase your defence spending. They'd like it to be 3.5% of GDP. I wonder in that calculation, you know, whether the $350 billion thereabouts that AUKUS is forecast to cost, whether that's factored in to defence, you know, defence spending. I'm not sure that it is. And if it's not, then it should be. So, you know, perhaps we would be meeting that. But I think the political environment around this, I don't know whether you watched the Four Corners show on AUKUS, Angus. Some of the retired, US and UK officials really cast incredible doubt on the ability for Australia to receive the submarines in the time said, let alone the new design of submarine that will be built in the UK, and the ability and the lack of capacity to do both of those jobs. And they're saying, well, we actually can't see it happening. One of them was recently retired First Sea Lord, wonderful English title. So, you know, one has to have doubt, and I get the feeling that, you know, one day soon we're going to wake up and, like when Trump was asked about AUKUS, he goes, what's that? What was that? You know, that he's going to go, no, we can't build enough submarines for ourselves. We're not giving any to anyone else. And it'll just be, that's it. What do you reckon?
Potentially. I mean, my understanding of the way that the agreement is written is that we really could pay all of that money and they can make a decision at the executive level, so at the presidential level, and say, sorry, I'm not satisfied that we can fulfill our own quotas here. So thanks for the cash, but that's it. And if you were...
It's like a lay-by, you know, lay-by where you never get to collect the goods.
Well, you never collect... Yeah, that's exactly right. You never collect the goods. So it's actually it's a tremendously good deal for the Americans. And so there's one part of me that thinks here, well, why wouldn't they go ahead with it on that basis? And if the likelihood of us receiving these submarines is so low, why wouldn't we use this as a basis to basically try and find a way out of it or something like that? And that's because, I mean, it's still an extraordinary amount of money. And some of the analysis that I've read on this suggests that if we were to take that money and invest it in other defence systems, that would still be very, very effective. Maybe it's not the same as a nuclear submarine, but I'm not a defence expert. But there are alternatives on the table, and I think that that's a really important consideration too. So it's certainly... you can imagine, though, this is not what the government is wanting to be dealing with.
No.
Because it's a huge headache, and there's just so many concurrent and complex factors that are running parallel to this as, you know, sort of the nature of what's happening in the Middle East deteriorates as well.
So there's two things there, Angus. One is that we are going nuclear as an industry, as let's call it a country, not just on power, though we're actually doing it in the seas if we get the subs. But I think that issue I went and start at the beginning was not having... Albanese at the NATO meeting is really quite a critical juncture, because our defence, particularly across the South China Seas and particularly in that sort of area, we need to try and form alliances with the NATO countries to sort of plug that gap.
And NATO's already, you know, flagged that, you know, they're interested, I'll use that term, in the Indo-Pacific. So, I mean, that's why I think he should be there, but, you know, obviously he doesn't think so, and that's fine. But It's, you know, I wonder why.
Should we mix it up a little bit, Macca? What about the domestic situation at the moment? Do you think the Libs are finally getting their policy decisions decided?
At the federal level?
Yes.
Oh, we can come to Victoria, but at the federal level?
Oh, Victoria continues to be fascinating. Look, at the federal level, no, I don't think they're anywhere near that. I think they're still very much sort of, there are a lot of people licking their wounds internally with the federal, federally within the coalition now that they're back together. And I think it's going to take some time for those issues to really sort of they're either going to simmer down or they're going to flare up again. And it's just, I think that there's kind of no certainty there from my perspective at the moment. And part of what makes me think that is that when we look at Queensland and what's happening with the government up there, we're going to have their budget pretty soon. So we're going to see what's in that. And it's going to give us an indication of where they want to take the state. But they're rewriting and changing up a whole bunch of their policies at the moment, particularly in the environmental space as well. And so certainly I think at a federal level then, and the way that that feeds into what they're going to do from a policy perspective, it's all still very much up in the air. I think anything that they kind of say that's sort of more firmly landed will still very much be debatable, because Lay also doesn't have a clear majority in her own party room, which I think means that any kind of policy positions that they have right now are extremely precarious and are entirely subject to a change of leadership, which is definitely possible.
Yeah.
Would you even say probable, Angus?
At some point, yes, I think so. I think, it's pretty common knowledge that when you lose, they didn't lose government, but they didn't win the election, right? That the person who comes after the last leader is not necessarily the one who will be there, that the party will take to the next election. Yeah. Of course, there's always exceptions, but to me at this stage, it does feel probable. And I think it's a reflection of, they've had their dirty laundry aired. And I think they've kind of come to their senses a bit, but everything is kind of happening in the background now. And so there'll be more to see in the coming sort of 6 to 12 months in particular.
Yeah, we're going to close. Yes, we're going to have to go, Angus. Yes, they have had their dirty laundry aired. The problem is they're trying to dry it in an environment where it's not going to dry.
An apt way of putting it, for sure.
And we can talk about the state Libs, Angus. What, have you got any comments on that? Is there anything that we don't know?
Look, I'm sure there are many things that we don't know, but it's certainly interesting seeing the way that they've structured things, like how they've bailed Pesutto out, and it really just appears to be a house of cards. And I think you would have thought sort of 6 months ago that there's no way that Labor could win the next election in Victoria, and then everything that's happened with the Liberals, you go, maybe they will get 4 more years. So it's precarious, to say the least.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall of the party room, watching, Maura Deeming on one side and John Pesutto on the other. I reckon you could...
Eggshells all between them.
Eggshells, yeah. Anyway.
And it's just alarming, isn't it, that I was listening to some news reporting that they've literally just gifted Maura the money from the party.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I know that it's technically a loan.
But you see...
But it's just a bizarre situation.
She said that the person who financed the legal action said that she didn't have to pay it back. So doesn't have to pay it back. It's like it's been paid. Sorry, the legal bills have been paid, is my understanding. So the money that will come to her, I would have thought, well, she can actually refuse it. She can say, no, I won't have that, thank
you. But surely if you're a good person, that is what you would do, wouldn't you, Macca?
I'm not going to ascribe motives to it, Paul. I just, I don't know exactly how it all plays out, but it is going to go on for a bit longer, that's for sure, isn't it, Angus? It's going to run up right.
It is. I think the bottom line is it has a bad odour about it. Whether it's all structurally sound, and I'm sure they've had very good legal advice on these things. It people's speculation on it is that it raises eyebrows, and that's not good for them.
Yeah, it's not.
It just goes to prove, though, you can never in politics. Everything changes so quickly.
Yes,
you can never assume what you think is going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah, we're out of time, Angus. Thanks again for your insight. We appreciate it, and we'll speak to you again soon.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Angus.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Paul. Stay with us. There's more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.